Appreciate the Lord. It's good to be here. I'm thankful for the Lord. Thankful that we serve a God that we believe in. You know, a lot of people serve a lot of things and really don't know whether they believe in God. I'm thankful for the Lord. Thankful for His goodness. I do appreciate the opportunity to get to be here. The Lord has really blessed us, and we're thankful for His help and grace and mercy in our lives. If you want to turn to your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Ephesians. I'll talk a little bit before I get there. Speaking of the baby, he was born on September 11th of this year, and his due date was this past Saturday, if that gives you any idea of how early it was. Wow. But he was born 29 weeks and 3 days, and he's supposed to, you know, of course we all know, 40 weeks, and so he was pretty early. You know, the doctor said he had a traumatic birth, and it was. Ways. Very first day, he was, you know, he was born, he was 14.9 inches long, and I think he was 2 pounds 10 ounces. And, you know, we kind of wondered if the Lord had got us mixed up with Gabriel and April and give us their baby. He was really a desperate situation. He had a respirator, he couldn't eat anything really. All these different scenarios, and on top of all that, when we all went to the hospital, my wife had preeclampsia, it was same as toxemia. My aunt died of that, so I'm worried about all these things. And he had the respirator in, which was normal, breathing for him, and of course a lot of people was praying for him. Our pastors came and prayed. And churches all across the world, America, were praying for him. And before 24 hours was up, he was breathing on his own. They took the respirator out. They provided him oxygen because his lungs weren't developed enough to where he could maintain on just room air. But besides that, he was breathing on his own. And Dr. told us that was that don't happen. The baby in the room next to him, she had hers for several weeks, and even when we went home, their baby was struggling, but, he went to eating really fast. They give him milk and, they took him off that extra IV stuff real quickly, and it was November the 7th he got to come home, and most people told us that he probably wasn't going to come home until his due date, which was this past week, but we believe the Lord, and we believe the Lord at the very beginning, and we trusted Him to help us, and He did. You know, and I'm thankful for the Lord and His help in our lives, and Jesse's going to testify.
I may say some more in my sermon.
Appreciate the Lord. I'm thankful for the Lord's blessing. I really am.
Amen. I wanted to remind you that we need to be a blessing for us. We pray often at the end of the night.
thanks for the offering. No, we really do appreciate it. We try to pray for everyone that blesses us. Pray that the Lord bless you in return. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1. I'll run through verse 10. I appreciate the church here, Bethel Chapel. Appreciate all the friends I have here, all the people, and how you've helped us in our ministry, how you put up with us so much in the summer groups. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through verses 10. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Why don't we all pray and ask the Lord to help us? Lord, I love you and thank you, Jesus, for your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity to be in church, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to minister the gospel. Thank you for your word, the power of your word, Lord. And I pray, God, especially right here, that you'd help your people, Lord, minister to the needs that they have. Different areas that they need a little grace in their lives, Lord. Different areas that they may need a touch of God. Maybe someone here that doesn't know you, that's never come to know your grace, Lord. I ask that you, by your power and by the power of the Holy Ghost, you would beckon them to an altar and a place of humility and repentance and forgiveness, Lord. Change lives today in this service, Lord. And we're going to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't particularly have a title, sound man. So just make one up. If you don't sound too bad, just show it to me. The topic in this text I read to you. There's a lot of topics in there. God's mercy's in there. The love of God's mentioned in there. The future of a Christian is in there. Plain old simple salvation, sanctification. All those topics are in this text, but the general theme of the text that I read to you is this block of scriptures, these 10 verses, is grace. And all of those different things are very important that were in there. I mean, the mercy of God is very important. Could you imagine in the story of the prodigal he would have had mercy to run down the road where his son was, but if he never extended anything to him, you know, his life would have never changed. Mercy is very important, but mercy is really pointless without grace. The love of God is mentioned in there, you know, and I'm very thankful for the love of God, but if it wasn't for grace, the love of God would be pointless in our lives. The future of a Christian, which we know to be heaven, and in the ages to come, which is in the scripture there, those are wonderful and amazing, but without grace, we'll never know the future of a Christian. Simple salvation, sanctification, those are very important and vital things to every one of us that are here. But without grace, we could never know salvation. Without grace, we could never know sanctification. Without grace, we could never know the baptism of the Holy Ghost and serving God in the fullness of Christianity if it was not for the grace of God. Are you thankful for grace? You know, the mercy that's mentioned there, that's the means of grace. That's how that it gets down the road to where we are. The love of God, that's the source of grace. That's what's behind it all. God's love for us is what thought up grace in his mind to give to us. Heaven, that's the reward of grace. But really, none of those things would matter if it wasn't for the grace of God in the lives of his people. I'm thankful for grace. I've got a very simple outline here, and I'll promise to preach short if you'll pray long. Deal? No, just very simple here. First thing I want you to notice is I want you to notice what grace is. Now, if you were to look in a Webster's dictionary, whichever one you wanted to pick, it would say something like this. It said that grace is the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of all the benefits that men receive from Him. That's where we get our term unmerited favor from. You know, there was a little lady in my home church there in Idabel, Oklahoma, Sister Stephan. And I remember growing up, if Brother Schaefer ever got on the subject of grace, she would pipe up, almost interrupt him, and say, unmerited favor. You know, every time that he would mention it, you know, that's exactly what grace is. It's where God gives us something that we don't deserve, and we can't work for, and we can't give enough money for. It's unmerited favor of God. Chuck Swindoll tells a story about when he was a boy. I believe it was the day he turned 15 years old. Maybe he was 16. I don't remember. But in that story, he tells about how he's laying on his bed late in the morning. His parents had let him sleep in. And his dad was out in the yard doing yard work. And his dad got close to the window where he was at and was weeding the flower beds for his mother. And his window was open there, so he spoke to him through the window. He said, "Chuck, I want you to come outside, and I want you to help me weed this flower bed." Well, in his newfound manhood of 16 years old, I guess, he told his dad, he says, "No, Dad, today's my birthday. I don't have to help you." Well, Chuck Swindoll's dad did what my dad would have did, and probably a lot of you men would have did. He came in the house with the belt already off and whooped him all the way out to the flower bed, and he said... Chuck Swindoll said, "You know, all day long I was bent over in a flower bed. I was pushing a lawnmower. I was running hand-powered hedge clippers. I was hauling brush, you know. And by the end of the day, I was a tired boy. And I was thankful. I was thankful that my dad didn't do any worse to me." You know, he said, at the end of that day, though, my dad sent me to the bathroom, told me to clean up, get ready, and loaded me up in the car and took me downtown to a nice restaurant for my birthday and bought me my birthday present. He said, what my dad did for me at the end of that day was a great example of grace, because truly by my actions I didn't deserve his mercy. I didn't deserve that dinner. I didn't deserve that present, but he loved me and gave it to me anyway. That's the way grace is, where God gives you something you don't deserve and makes you better in your life. The Bible gives a simple definition of what grace might be. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, "It's the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards men." Simple acronym that everyone has read before or come across is grace is God's righteousness at Christ's expense. You know, we were unholy and we needed righteousness. And it's through the cross of Calvary. That's the greatest expression of grace. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. That's where we were able to obtain righteousness. Through the power of the cross. Through the shed blood of Calvary. Through His sinless life and His sacrificial death. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Did you know that all the Trinity is involved in grace? All the members of the Godhead are involved in the grace that we as Christians know and love and appreciate. You know, but the God the Father, He is the architect of grace. It was in His mind that He thought up the plan of God. It's in His mind that He thought up the workings of it and all the intricate parts that grace would become. You know, in the Son, God the Son, He is the purchaser of grace, because it was through His sacrificial death on Calvary that the ultimate price was paid that a sinful man could receive God's grace in their life. The Holy Ghost, He is the illuminator of grace. He's the one that brings us to the place in our life where we can see the plan of God, get to the place where we can accept the plan of God and be changed by it. But He's also the administrator. When you're down there at the altar and you give your heart to God and repent of your sins, He's the one that gives it to you. He's the one that changes your life and works in your life from that point on. I'm thankful for God's grace, aren't you? I'm thankful for Him working in my life. That's what grace is. Talk to you a few minutes here about what grace does. Now, the principle of grace, what a principle is the cause, the source, and the origin of something. The principle of grace is simply this, in two words, is to change mankind. the power of grace, or the strength that it has, is the same two words, to change mankind. The possibilities of grace, so that's what can happen because of grace, is simply to change mankind. That's what grace does. It changes mankind. You know, we a lot of times think of grace in, you know, in one respect. We think of it in salvation. You know, but everyone that is a sinner truly does need grace. But everyone that is beyond the cross needs grace every day. And friend, I'm telling you, what you need is God to work in your life and extend grace to you and to change you even more like Him, to make a difference in your life, in what you're facing, the position you're at. We all need more grace in our lives. You know, there's one grace, but there's many applications. You know, for a sinner, he needs saving grace. Every believer has found justifying grace. All seekers need illuminating grace. The bereaved, the ones that are hurting, they need comforting grace. The weak, you may be weak in your spiritual life today. What you need is the strengthening grace of God. Maybe you're here and you're unholy. Maybe worldliness is creeping into your life. You need the sanctifying grace of God. Maybe you're here and you're sick in body. You need the healing grace of God. Friend, whatever stage of life you're in, as a pilgrim serving God, we've got to have His grace in our life. Grace, what we need more than anything. Friend, Christian, brother, sister, what was the thing that was the most noticeable about your life when you went to that altar and you experienced grace? You left a different person, because that's what grace does. It changes men's lives. It changes people. It makes them more like Him. That's what we all need, to be more like Him. Friend, how about it? Let's decide we need more grace tonight. We need the power of God in our lives. We need God's grace working in us. Told you what grace was. Told you what grace does. Now I'm going to tell you how you receive grace. First thing, you got to understand, if you want to receive grace, is you got to understand that grace is a gift. Verse 8 in that scripture right there says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God." You know, there's no amount of works that you can do, you know, to obtain grace. There's a lot of religions. Everything about their religion is based upon them doing some action or doing some work to attain grace in their life. I mean, there's a lot of them. They put a certain amount of money in some box under some saint somewhere. There's a lot of them. They do a certain thing on a certain day of the week trying to obtain grace. But friend, grace cannot be earned. It must be given to you by God Almighty. It's something that's from Him to you. There's a story about a rich lady. She was a Presbyterian lady. She lived in New York City. The part of town that she lived in, there was no Presbyterian church. So she took of her wealth and she built in those days it was $1 million facility. That's really not that much today, but in those days it was quite an edifice. You know, and when they completed it on the dedication service, all the officials in town were there, and the story tells of how that she's sitting there on the front bench with her lawyer. And the pastor, the one they've elected to take the church, the one the district or whatever sent, they come to a point in the service where that she is going to sign over that building to that group of people as a church. So her lawyer goes to the platform where the pastor was and signs the deed as power of attorney over that pastor. Before he handed that deed to him, that pastor pulls a dollar bill out of his pocket and hands it to the lawyer in exchange for that deed. You know, and we really, we think about that story right there. We say, what an amazing thing that she did for that group of people. And what a gift. You know, but really that wasn't a gift, because there was something paid for it. For it truly have been a gift, she would have had to sign it over with nothing in return. But that's the way God offers everything in the riches of His grace to us. He don't ask us to put a certain amount of money here, put a money there. He don't ask us to do a certain thing here. He don't tell us to go to some saint or go so many miles. He tells us simply come to an altar and repent and ask God to work in our lives. Friend, I'm telling you, you need grace. You've got to get to the place where you're willing to say, God, I need what you got for me. If you're going to receive
Grace, you got to realize that grace is a gift. Second thing about grace, if you intend on receiving, you've got to understand that grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, the Lord spoke to Paul there. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, that's what the Bible says right there. And Paul, at that position in his life, he'd just come through that time where he was experiencing the thorn in the flesh. And he'd asked God to heal him several times. He'd asked God, "I need you to take this from me. I can't handle this. I can't go on without this." But God didn't do it. For whatever reason, God chose not to. And the Lord spoke to him and told him that his grace was sufficient. You know, and that indicates to me that no matter the situation of life, no matter the problem of life, no matter the difficulty of life, he says his grace is sufficient. So ultimately, the source of grace is greater than the need for grace. You need grace in your life. I'm telling you, friend, we serve a God that has more than you'll ever need and can help you greater than you could ever imagine. In Trinidad, they call it the La Brea Tar Pits, and there's one they call it Pitch Lake. It's a tourist attraction now, but that lake in particular, it has tar or asphalt in it, and it's the thing they use to make asphalt roads. You know, and they would go to that lake and dig out when they was producing from it, they'd dig out pitch and tar every day and put it on a truck and send it to the coast, put it on a barge, send it to America or send it to a factory there and make asphalt with it and pave the roads around there. You know, but the unique thing about that one lake was that that when they leave in the evening with gaping holes in it where they had partook of that asphalt, the next morning when they'd come, it'd be smooth across the top. They began to research that, try to figure out why. But in the day that they researched it, they couldn't find the bottom of that pit. You know, and every morning they would come back and the deposit that they'd taken from it was filled again. You know, the reason that was possible is because the source of the asphalt was greater than the need for the asphalt. That's exactly the way grace is in our lives. Maybe you're sick in body. Maybe you have a sin-sick soul. Friend, I don't know what your need is, but the source of grace is greater than the need for grace. How about it? You need grace in your life? You got a problem? You got a need in your life? God's got the grace for your problem, and he's never going to run out of what you need. The Bible says in James chapter 4, a very famous scripture, he says, "But he giveth more grace." Christian friend, I'm telling you, the difficulty you're going through, the affliction that you're suffering, maybe in your body, in your current situation of life, maybe where you're at, I don't know the difficulty that you're in, but I can promise you that God's got the grace to pull you through it. God's got the power to strengthen you and help you down the road. If you'll come to him and say, "God, I need your help." That's really all it takes. You know, that's the last thing you got to know about grace if you're gonna obtain it. You got to understand it simply goes to the humble. You know, the Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. That means that he gives it to the ones that are willing to ask for it and realize their need. You know, I'm not real old, and you know, I ain't done a whole lot of things. You know, but I've been through a few difficulties in my life. You know, one, this past 3 months has been very difficult. I'll just tell you right now, I remember sitting when Dr. Chandler came to us after in our doctor's appointment. Jesse was sitting there and swelled up, and you know, all the nurses were kind of, whoa, they knew what the doctor was going to say. And I remember he walked in there and he just took one look at her and told her she was going to the hospital right then and told us what the situation was and you know, all the things that could happen to her and could happen to the baby and all the difficult things that she was fixing to go through. I tell you right now, fear gripped my heart. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen. I remember she was sitting on that table and she was crying, and I didn't know what to do. I stared at the floor. There wasn't nothing I could do in our situation. I remember I took her by the hand and we began to pray and ask God to help us in our life and help us with this situation and help us with our trouble. And it seemed like such a great need. But I remember the power of the Holy Ghost came in that little bitty exam room and swept the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, across our heart, and it changed the situation, and it made a difference. And friend, you're here and you need grace. God's got it for you if you'll ask for it. How about it? Come on, are you willing? Are you willing to ask God? God, I can't do nothing for myself right here. I can't help myself. I can't pick myself up by my bootstraps and do better. God has got something for you if you'll ask Him for it. God wants to extend grace to you. Sinner friend, you got more sin than you know what to do with. You're trying to clean up your life so you can get saved, start coming to church. You know, the Bible says in one place, this felt like putting this in here, but the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That goes right back to that what I was talking about earlier, that the source is always going to be greater than the need. And God is able to change your life too, friend. God can save your soul, wash your sins away, and make a difference in your life. You'll go home and everybody will notice a difference because you found grace. You found a change in your life. God's got grace for you. Sister Rammers, can one of y'all help me with the piano? I'm fixing to quit here. I told you I wasn't going to preach long. I didn't pay attention to what time I started. Man, I preached long and don't know it. You know, there's no saying a lot of people have said. One preacher, I think B.B. Carroll said a lot of times, I think, but he said, he's talking about things of the Lord. He said, you know, it's better felt than telt. Yes. You know, I mean, you know, what he was trying to get across, that's exactly what grace is. Right. You know, I could tell you, I've told you some stories. I've told you the illustration and how wonderful grace was, you know, in my life. But until you experience it, you'll never understand. Until you bring your sin sick soul to the altar and ask God to forgive you, you'll never understand the power of grace. Until you brought your need to the altar and surrendered it to God, you'll never understand what grace can really do for you. I mean, that's the way it is. This past week was Thanksgiving, and my family, because baby can't travel very much, they came to our house, you know, different reasons. My mom and dad, Gabriel and April came to our house. You know, we had Thanksgiving in our house, and pie cooking day, I don't remember what day that was, and April cooked a pie, and I think April cooked a pie, and I don't know if mom did, there were two or three of them there, but Jesse made one. I walked in from working, and she's working on it. I knew what she's doing, but I left again. I get there next day, and there's this pie that she made. It's a pecan pie. That's one of my favorites right there. But she took, and, you know, she made her own crust, flaky, really good. You know, and she mixed that syrupy stuff up, you know, just right. And she lays her pecans. She'll just put them in there. She lays them out there in neat rows, you know, and, you know, she's pretty particular in the way she does. She even took little leaf cookie cutters and cut out that pie crust for the outside, so it was really, really neat. You know, it looked awesome. You know, and Thanksgiving, we got I ate my turkey and ate my dressing. I got some pecan pie. I put on my plate. You know, I ate that thing. It was great. Made me go get milk. And that's a good sign. That's the main indicator if it's good. And, you know, I got another piece and ate it. I ate two or three more days. You know, it was wonderful. That was amazing. I mean, it was great. I would say I wish you could have had some, but I don't want to share, you know.
Right, yeah.
But I can tell you how wonderful that pie was.
Come on.
Until you come to our house and she makes one and you try it for yourself, you'll never understand. That's the way grace is. I can tell you how wonderful it was. How it turned me, you know, old wretched sinner into what I am today. I can tell you all those stories and how bad my life was and how good it is now. But you'll really never understand until he, until you let him take your old sinful, wretched life and make a change in it.
Come on, Brother Alex.
You'll never really understand until, I mean, I could die. I told you about our experience with our baby and all that stuff, you know, and you, but you'll never really understand until you have a need that you offer to him right. yourself. Amen. And he extends his grace to you. And I can tell you all about it, but until you come and experience it, you'll never understand. You know, that's the thing about grace. The greatest thing about grace is it's God intended it to be received. Brandon, I don't know what your need is, but God intends to help you tonight. I can tell by the way things are right now, God's moving in your heart. He's pricking your heart. He's letting you know that he's able to move in your life. He's letting you know he's able to help you in your trouble. He's letting you know that he can fix your life and fix the problems in your life. Give your life to him. That's all stand. It's the most important part right here. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I don't want it to be hard for anyone to come to the altar. You know, but I've lived long enough to know that this really probably ought to be a pretty general altar call, because we all need grace in some area of life. But sinner friend, you're here. You need God to change you. That's the most important thing. If you got sin in your life, you can't fix it yourself. You've tried, and you want God to help you. I want you to come to the altar. I want you to ask God to save you. I want you to ask God to change your life. Fix all the places that you messed up. Sinner friend, are you going to come? God's got a spot for you up here saved. He's been pulling for you. He's been beckoning to you, and he wants to change you.
I can't make it without you.
Okay, I'm not.
Not for
you're here. You've got difficulties. Sinner, saint, mother, father, young person, elderly. You have a weak heart.
And I need
you need to strengthen in God. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you've got a sick body. Maybe you've got a bad family situation. I don't know what your difficulty is, but if you're here, you need God's grace again. You need a fresh touch of God. I want you to come find a place to pray around this altar. I want you to come find a place to pray. There's some coming. Sinner friend, why don't you come with them? Why don't you come and ask God to move in your life? Come on, saints, let's gather in here. Offer our lives, offer our problems to God and trust him to help us.
Your mercy.